How do you make decisions? There's so many options out there. Do you have a secret? Do you have a strategy around making decisions?
That's a very, very, very dangerous question, because my strategy for making decision is procrastination.
Hello and welcome to the Create Your Work Life podcast, the podcast for work and life designers looking for inspiration to increase engagement, meaning, and happiness at work.
Yes, and our guest today is Luigi Centenaro, founder of Big Name and creator of the Personal Branding Canvas. He is a strong believer that the answer to macro trends such as internet, globalization, digital transformation, and exponential technologies in the workplace relies on talent, self-direction, and autonomy. He specializes in professional innovation for the workforce in the enterprise, giving professionals and managers the skills, tools, and mindsets to be more self-directed, to work on their own professional business models, leveraging their personal brand. He specializes in professional innovation for the workforce in the enterprise, giving professionals and managers the skills, tools, and mindsets to be more self-directed, to work on their own professional business models, leveraging their personal brand, and activating their own personal digital transformation. He's author and curator of some Italian bestsellers and clinical professor, lecturer, and trainer in many institutions, including the SDA Bocconi, St. Gallen University, ESSEC in Paris, YHU in Düsseldorf, Politecnico di Milano Business School, and Foscari University. He's also a family man and a father who plays a lot with his two beautiful children, paternity as a master, as he says. Luigi and I met in 2013 at the first Business Model U certified practitioner training led by Dr. Timothy Clark. I had the pleasure to organize in Munich, and over the last 7 years, we have found many good excuses to stay in touch, collaborating, or just exchanging on trends and many other topics. Welcome, Luigi Centenaro. It's a pleasure having you as our podcast guest today.
Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much, Mercedes, Claudia. I'm really excited because, you know, I would never imagine to be invited to a podcast that is discussing exactly what I love to do every day. And it's really, really awesome. Thank you so much.
That's great. That's great. And that's the reason you are here today. And we'll start with our first question, which has to do with that directly, which is, what does create your work life mean to you?
So creating your work life, that's exactly what is my entire job about. Designing methodologies and approaches and tools for doing that. Typically, we do it in the corporate environment. But what do we mean for creating your work life? We have this approach, and I'm a strong believer of this approach of professional innovation, as you said, during your introduction. And we think that the creation of the work life should be done using the innovation approach. But what do we mean? Why we should innovate a profession nowadays? Because, of course, as you say, we live in this crazy context where we call it the VUCA, where complexity is in place. And I will also define it a VUCA with double C, because it's also a chaotic environment. Currently, we are recording before Christmas. It's funny because we don't even know how we can spend Christmas, where and how we should work after and between Christmas and the new year. So it's a chaos. in this kind of environment, creation of a work life should be done using the same approach used by the best startups in the world. So applying an agile approach, or better, the approach we use, a design thinking approach. This is why we combine design thinking with strategy, so let's call it self-marketing, and the traditional professional development and coaching approach to all together in order to give people, to give to all workers, tools, methodologies, and also a mindset for creating their work life. And in practice, this means also having tools like visual tools.
And Luigi, another question is very interesting for us. What was your first job? What made you choose that job, and what did you like or didn't you like in that time?
So that's an amazing question, because what made you choose that job? I didn't choose it, as it typically happened in the 90s. So I was my father had a software design firm. And it was very easy for me to choose software design as a university studies. And in the meantime, I was probably too bored by university the way it was done. So I was working already. And I started working for him, for my father. And of course, I loved that, because I had a chance to work on very, very interesting projects. My first job was a kind of software developer, system designer, and project manager, and account manager, and probably also support at the same time. So factotum, we will say. And I was also very successful at it. I was still very young. I had the chance to start working when I was something like 19, and already doing crazy projects, because the attitude of my father was to throw you in the ocean. If you survive, you got the right skin, we say in Italian. So, and it was very, very stressful, but I managed to do some very interesting projects. And there it was where I learned that something was wrong, because I felt like not having, any control on my life, on my work life, because I didn't choose my university studies. I didn't choose my work, my job. I didn't have the chance to even choose my projects. They were just given by, by my father, and also by, word of mouth, next kind of customers, so that they were, passing the word to each other. So my business started already then. It, of course, made my university studies a little bit longer. And suddenly, I was noticed by a large corporation. But why I'm telling you this story? Because I met a professor there that inspired me. He was a professor from Spain on design and user-centric design, the initial human interaction, human-computer interaction theory. And that was when I learned about design thinking. And I was struck, because we were still working the usual waterfall methodology, the usual normal planning and developing and testing and failing mode. But time changed. You remember 9/11, what happened in that period, a big crisis, everything went to hell, the new economy. And so we had a chance to learn that approach was completely wrong. And so I started studying and being inspired and contaminated by the mobile, by the agile movement, and implementing those approach into my day-to-day work in the corporate. So this is where it started, my interest, but also something else happened there. A very strange thing that happened during this experience, that when I done a very successful project an Italian mobile operator, that was basically Vodafone at the time. So it was an English one. And the very successful project, let's say, was going to be rolled out all over the world. But I wasn't called for rolling out worldwide. It was a guy from Sweden that took over me, you know? So I wondered, and also an American guy. So I asked the American guy, what happened? Why are you doing that? Were you choosing not me? And he said, it's personal branding, baby. That was the exact moment when I met the concept. And I said, here something is not working at all. So little by little, I'm telling you very personal stories for telling you mainly three things. Where I learned agility and design, what I learned about personal branding, and also what I learned about strategy. In that exact time, I started studying and doing other masters, doing training about coaching. So I even went to around the world getting some certifications on, for example, NLP. I had the chance to learn NLP from directly from Richard Bandler in Orlando. I never say that because I don't really. I use NLP as a tool for asking the right questions, as you know well, but I don't really use NLP as a methodology. I more refer to the Palo Alto School as an approach myself. So, Vaclavic, I think, might be my special guru here.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that story. It explains a lot. Next question would be, how do you make decisions? There's so many options out there. Do you have a secret? Do you have a strategy around making decisions?
That's a very, very, very dangerous question. my strategy for making decision is procrastination. To tell you the truth, I try, you know, because it's typical that you are so good at solving complex problems for your customers, and when you got a complex problem yourself, it's harder to take decisions and to apply the same methodology to yourself. But what do I do usually? I try to understand everything I can, and as soon as I can, about the opportunity or the problem. So I use my own canvas. I do a SWOT. I do maybe a mission canvas, you know, mission model canvas about the project. And as soon as I work around the issue or the problem or the opportunity a lot, suddenly I stop and I procrastinate a lot. I start thinking at it. And after a few days, something comes out. So I had this kind of, doing a big, not a brainstorming, I will say, but a question storming at the very beginning. And then wait that my subconscious mind comes with the solution. Usually, I validate the solution using my personal values. So I got my own criteria. I got a few values that I always have been very clear. I got three values that are really important for me, that are always taken into consideration when I take decisions. So if I take a decision, I try to validate it. And the values, my values typically are that everything I do should create prosperity somehow. It's a very important concept for me. And increase diversity. So be very inclusive, everything I do, because I love diversity as a concept. And a little bit of heresy would be really, really important. So heresy in the translated in the sense of having options, you know? So always having options, designing for options. That was a lesson I learned from my grandfather that was in the military. And the story was that he was arrested during the military for a stupid thing. And of course, later on, he was, of course, was released without any charge, cornered somehow. And he had to, and also always told me this, Luigi, design for options. It was one of the few words he was telling. My grandfather was very, very, very old. So, and I always thought about this thing that you should always design for option. And this is exactly at the basis of my professional innovation model, because the very first thing I help people to do is to create options. Because what I typically see with people, also with students for MBA, you know, I meet these MBA students in big business schools that, you know, it's funny because I teach these students that courses that they wouldn't allow me to be a student for, you know, because I wouldn't be enough intelligent to be one of those students. And they are very bright, they are super achiever and they are great students. And when it comes to their career, they usually are thinking in silos, you know. They have a sort of narrowing. They don't contaminate. They have a fixed idea about their future, a sort of a very general, also a little bit fluffy, not all of them, of course, but most of them, idea about their future. And usually it's something very, you know, fashionable in that precise moment. Like nowadays, everybody is a big data analyst, you know, and they don't design for options. So they focus on that. They focus on that and they don't contaminate. They don't try to work using an association methodology, you know, and to create new ideas. And when I have the chance to have, you know, maybe 15-minute phone call after my training course with some of them, I start going around with them on the internet and just using Google and LinkedIn and showing them how many other possibilities are connected to their fixed idea silos, the narrowing they are into. And they suddenly discover a whole new world full of possibilities. And it's funny because I have a long experience with thousands of possible different professions because I met thousands of students and I had the chance to monitor their career. But on the other side, it's funny because it takes only 15 minutes of searching on Google or LinkedIn to, and making your map of the world larger, bigger, you know? And this is exactly what is about professional innovation. It's about innovating your career, creating options and validating them.
Yeah. Okay. Luigi, what does your day look like nowadays, and what changed lately for you?
Yeah, I think that that's something that it's very similar all around the world. Of course, in March, last March, everybody was struck by this lockdown. Here in Milan, where I live, we were, as you remember, really, really in trouble. And we suddenly were closed in our houses. And so all my projects were canceled or postponed. And at the very beginning, I still remember having some phone calls and Zoom calls with Mercedes, if you remember those. And we were trying to brainstorm, oh my God, what's going to happen? And so we decided, me and Mercedes, we decided to apply our own methodologies that are very similar to our own career and to design for options and to test, to do prototypes, to make things happen. And because suddenly you start taking a path and meeting somebody else doing the same thing. And we started partnering with other people. And so I started applying strategy and design to my own work. And immediately I understood that our visual tool, like the canvas and the personal branding canvas and all the other tools of the professional innovation toolkit, some of them are published, but some of them are not published yet. They are still in our art, in our cloud, and they're going to be published in the future. And they were easily to use even digitally. And it was very stupid of us not doing that enough before. Why, I wondered. Why didn't we? Because everybody was asking us to go somewhere in a physical academy, in a physical meeting room, attaching posters to the wall, and doing the exercise face-to-face. Very, very important. I think we should all think that in the future we should have that, okay? Not stop using that. But on the other side, it was amazing how the Canvas online worked very well, very, very, very well. Also because we could, for example, using Google Drive, I might share when you publish the podcast some links, if you want, to some Google Drive examples of the Canvas. We could work remotely with the customers, companies, and share all together a conversation over Zoom and Google Drive or Mural. And it was even better because it didn't require me to travel and to spend, you know, 1 day traveling for half a day workshop, you know, to London or to Munich or to Paris or wherever. And also because the post-it were already digital and the process was already digital. So you didn't even need to digitalize it afterwards. And so the conversation could go on also in a synchronous way. So we could work, each group, each team could work on the document asynchronously and deliver value sooner. The first project I was asked was by an important town in Italy. And the major asked me to help the, I don't know how to say that in English, so the tourist manager, you know, the tourist office manager of the council, to innovate their team and their professions, because they understood that, you know, tourism in the town was going to be disrupted a lot because of COVID. So the major immediately understood that it wasn't a matter of a couple of months, but probably a couple of years. Only a few days ago, our good old Bill Gates said that in the future, 50% of the business travels were going to won't happen anymore. And in fact, just 2 days ago, the middle of December, basically, 2020, the Booking.com closed the business department. Funny enough, you know? The business service was very useful to me. So I don't know about you, mm-hmm. Claudia and Mercedes, but we were using that account a lot, and he closed it down. And the tourist office of the town was also very much involved in business traveling, because the town I'm talking about is a very industrial town too, also not only touristical destination. And we created a design thinking process entirely online for them, using only Google Drive and Zoom. And we created that from scratch. And me and Mercedes, we were also doing a project for a large corporation. I think we can say that out loud. So for Daiichi Sankyo. And we were planning it face-to-face, live, let's say, you know. And we had to move it completely online, doing a prototype. And it was very, very cool, because even the company accepted immediately to do a prototype, because they understood that also for them was a prototype. So little by little, those kind of prototypes became my day-to-day. So the rest of my day is, of course, quite the same, because, of course, as everybody else in our world, we work nonstop. So we don't really have a schedule, 9 to 6. So sometimes I tend to be, as Mercedes said, a father, a family guy. And maybe I start working at 4 o'clock and taking care of my kids, my family, and then I maybe work in the evening. And I have some colleagues that appreciate that and enjoy design projects after dinner, and I like it. I don't really care. But of course, I try to been always careful with Zoom fatigue and sitting all day. So having a comfortable environment is a completely new asset and a completely new key resource. We all remember in the past that we in our CV we were writing, I got a car, you know?
Yeah.
I got a computer.
Yeah.
Now you got fiber. So now, if you have fiber, you are more employable, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enough.
Yeah. And just tagging on to what you were saying before, because that schedule seems very busy and the Zoom fatigue and all that. How do you cope or deal with stress?
I'm just stressed. No, it's true. I'm stressed. I mean, but I am stressed in a good way. So I have to say that, first of all, I know coaching. I know mindfulness. I do it. I use calm.com as an application a lot. And I also some other tools. And I also know how to, since I got a, I've done recently a master about some methodologies for, creating change and winning resistance and helping people with stress when it comes to career decisions. I done this master with a professor in Italy that is also translated a lot around the world. That is Giorgio Nardone. Giorgio Nardone is a kind of a genius. He's also a co-author of Václavik and was a big friend and colleague of Václavik. And they co-founded a school in Italy, Václavik and Giorgio Nardone. And he has an approach that is called brief therapy, brief strategic therapy, and also brief strategic coaching. That is the one I've done because I'm not a psychologist or a therapist. And so I did a master with him and with his staff. That was really, 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 really important for me because the methodologies I learned, I also can apply them to myself and also with my customers because they win resistance and stress when it comes to change because design sometimes forget that people have resistance. They focus a lot on people and their jobs to be done. But most of the time people are, resisting when it comes to changing something to their life. So with these studies, I had the chance to learn how to manage my own stress very, very well, and also to help my customer getting better at changing. Mm-hmm. So combining again, my professional innovation approach is traditional coaching and these brief strategic coaching together with design thinking and corporate strategy. That is my heritage, basically.
Mm-hmm. Walking the talk.
Yeah, trying to walk the talk, of course. As everybody, we are all stressed. It's funny because in these days, I'm seeing my kids very, snappy and sometimes unpolite and stressed and going around the house like a tiger in a cage, And I see that. I see that they are very, very good kids. I'm very lucky. But on the other side, the moment is crazy. We have to accept sometimes that we can be snappy. Last day, I had a customer workshop, and one of the lady there was had a very strong reaction with a colleague during the workshop, and it was funny because only a few months ago, everybody would have been really surprised and critical to this reaction, and everybody had a laugh and say, yeah, we know we are all having Zoom fatigue, we totally accept that, don't worry. She apologized, but it was totally acceptable that in that moment people are not comfortable, are not living in a normal world, So sometimes we have a training and I'm at home, closed at home in a lockdown, and my kids enter and I'm having a conversation with the CEO of a big company. And my girl, she kissed me while I'm talking and everybody laugh on the other side. Nobody cares because the same is happening to him or to her, So we are kind of accepting new things, new way of interacting and not hiding anymore the fact that we are human, we are having life, and the work-life balance is something completely different nowadays. And this requires even more an approach for being aware of the context of your strategy, being anti-fragile somehow, more self-directed. This is the situation, this current moment, where I can somehow test my approach very, very much, stress test my approach totally. So on the other side, now we are starting with a project where we're going to help a group of people that lost their job. It's a pro bono in doing it in Italy. Mm-hmm. I'm stress testing our approach. because I think never happened that the VUCA award, the VUCA with double C, chaotic, not only complex, word was so clear to everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
Before it was just a buzzword that we were telling everybody and people were looking at us a little bit confused, if you remember Mercedes or Claudia.
Mm.
And now everybody knows that we are living in this world. We require new approaches. Everybody understands what anti-fragility is.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that we need to be self-directed. It's like that I've been working for the last 20 years for being ready for 2020.
Indeed. Luigi, another topic. You are a great networker and very active in social media. How have you built your network? And how do you get people to listen to you?
Oh, wow. That's a very personal branding related question. So, I had already a large network in the corporate world because, of course, of my previous corporate experience. So that was easy because when you introduce yourself as a job title of a big company, everybody listens.
Mm-hmm.
Much easier to build a network when you are branded like that, isn't it?
Okay.
But suddenly, I started going out of the corporate and participating to bar camps. I don't know if you remember this word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to informal meetings, signing myself on the program for 20 minute speech, doing tests, bringing my experience, and discovering that those people outside of the corporate world were more innovative than us inside the corporate world. And in 2006, 2007, 2005, that was not, of course, evident. And so I started doing things. And of course, many customers came, but too many, you know, freelancers. And I was, you know, more comfortable with corporate environment. But on the other side, the corporate world started asking for strange projects, like, you know, there is this LinkedIn. It's a strange thing. I'm a recruiter and I'm contacted by people, but my LinkedIn profile sucks. Can you help us, Luigi? And then a bank came and said, Luigi, we saw that you are doing a great job with, you know, lawyers, freelancers, but can you help our financial advisors with their professional brand? Because, financial advisors nowadays are not salespeople. They are more consulting, you know? And when you consult people, you must be credible. And I say, yeah, we can do that. And so the corporate world started asking us for corporate-grade projects. And many, many strange projects came afterwards. So a CEO said, you know, these people from the publicists, they come, they fix those stupid interviews with the journalist, and they don't have a strategy. Luigi, do you think that branding is a good strategy for attracting better opportunities? And I said, yes, of course. That's exactly what branding is about, you know. Can you help me with my personal brand? Yeah, that's called CEO branding. And so we started creating a practice around CEO branding, and we started publishing things about it, you know. And I even done a project. After that, I delivered a speech after I published something because that attracted the interest of a forum, you know, a management forum. And I gave a speech about that. And the CEO of Fortune 100 was attending that. And he asked us to create a project for him. So a Fortune 100, in Italy, we got only three Fortune 100. And the project had a huge budget, not for me, unfortunately, only. It was for the entire project because he understood he had to have a strategy for managing his CEO brand, like nowadays everybody is doing, you know, from, you know, if you think about Tesla, Elon Musk, or, you know, all those big CEO in the world. But, you know, for an Italian CEO of an Italian Fortune 100 that is spread all around the world, creating a strategy, that wasn't really something I was expecting, you know. But for doing the project, I had to interview 40 people and to interview him a couple of times and to deliver him a strategy. So I only could do that because of design thinking. And again, interviewing 40 people, 40 stakeholders, also external stakeholders, created another network. And then, you know, so what is your secret? Doing things. Reaching out. And also communicating those things. And also taking a position in sometimes a position, you know, differentiatingly than saying, I'm that, I'm not that. So, because, you know, branding is a device for differentiating you from the background noise, from in order for you to stand out somehow. It's a device that clarifies your narrative, your identity to others so they can refer to you for something. When you are clear, your message that you deliver is clear, your identity is clear, other things can happen because when you, you know, you are called for one thing, then this company called me again for creating from scratch an entire team applying the same methodology of team, that basically the book from Tim Clark, Team Business Model for Teams. And then another opportunity was created, and we, of course, by the way, this exact case is in the book, by the way. So we created this global digital communication team for the company from scratch using the same methodologies. And there, many other stakeholders were involved. And on and on and on. We could go on for, you know, a week discussing about that. So this is exactly how we do. You create value. And you have also a communication strategy in order to let people know about that, not just keeping it for yourself. That's the main mistake, because we love our work, and I also do this mistake often. And we have head down, you know, and we all work all day, and we forget that we should publish stuff. And I was lucky enough to meet a manager from EY. That she is the manager of, during those projects, by the way, to meet this lady from EY. She's the manager of the employer branding strategy from the south of Europe, or EY. And we thought, why don't we write a book about personal branding applied to the corporate world? And we wrote it. And it is a book with many cases from us and other companies applying these methodologies to the corporate world. And the book, of course, was sold and created new opportunities. So, and everything started because I couldn't accept sitting, you know, on my desk in the corporate world and staying in my silos. I decided to reach out, going around those informal meetings in various industries that were happening. I remember my first barcamp was about this strange thing called microblogging. It was Twitter, basically. It was this strange thing. It's called Twitter, let's create a barcamp around this new buzzword, you know, this micro-blogging buzzword. Yeah. So everything started there somehow, you know, going out of the building, reaching out, doing things, creating value for others, even for free.
Well, thanks, Luigi. Has been a very intense interview today. And just coming to the end of it, we don't want to forget to ask this question, which is, do you have any special plans or projects in the next 6 months, now coming the year to the end, that you would like to share with us? A project that you most look forward to?
Yes. It's something I really love to talk about, because I understood that what we are doing is not enough. So I'm having a lot of fun with corporates, with companies, but I've been completely not active when it comes to, you know, other people external to my customers, to clients, you know. And so I thought that it's time to somehow build a sort of platform where people that knows what we knows, we all three knows in this conversation, can help people that are in need. I think it's time to create an answer to those, you know, American style silos where everything is copyrighted and protected, you know, and somehow a closed environment, and to create more a European style platform where things are more open, of course, and more and contamination can happen. So what I just said is very vague, I know. But so practically speaking, my vision now is that, of course, as I already said, in the nowadays you can't use professional development and planning anymore. That is completely clear. I mean, when I was saying that 2 years ago, somebody was looking at me as I was crazy. But now it's completely clear. And during the coronavirus crisis, so I think many people need that. So we are we want to create now a sort of platform that will be surely a software, but at the very beginning will be prototyped by a community, where we will have people that knows these tools and will be able to help using a process that, well, currently we have designed and it works very, very well. It's a professional innovation process for helping people in need. Also because my idea is somehow to open source the methodology. I already done a lot because all the canvas I'm publishing them for free. So I have this softer approach of open sourcing, you know, it's my background. And this is why we want to do differently. This is the current plan. So to open source the approach, to have people learn it, and to have people joining the platform and helping others and making, of course, and creating value and of course, acquiring value also. So it's not pro bono activity. It's something that value means many, many things. It can be money or something else, visibility or whatever, you know, or just learnings. And even learning. And the current plan is to prototype that. We already started in Italy, and we want to spread this to European friends like you and many other European colleagues I met during these years that are very excited to join this idea. And the criteria are, of course, that you should create prosperity, diversity, and options for people. So my values, again, you know, I'm trying to instill into this project so that we can create opportunity for many, many people, because this methodology, they work very, very well. I didn't invent design thinking. I didn't invent coaching. I didn't invent corporate strategy. I just had the chance to put them all together with a new vision. And a methodology with, a process and steps that work very, very well. So I wanted this methodology to be better than mine, no? To be more than me. So this is why I think that open sourcing it will contaminate it and will create even something better. So the people participating to this idea might enrich it, create more, connect more devices, more tools. So if somebody creates something better than a personal branding canvas for creating and prototyping a personal branding strategy, why not? Let's plug in it to the methodology. So this is the idea of my special plan, my special project for the future. I don't know how we can do it because it's very, very difficult. But from the first prototypes we had in Italy, they were really, really successful. All the people involved started changing, started creating new ideas, new opportunities, implementing them, and also being already a community. So creating micro teams for helping each other. So I'm good at content, you know, I'm good at videos, I'm good at strategy, I'm good at career coaching. And I'm just a personal trainer, okay? You are the customer and we help you. So people need to do that, but a methodology is required, you know? A sort of fil rouge in order to make sure everybody's on the same page. And our mission is very tough, in my opinion, but we will make it happen. And I would love to have you, of course, and everybody listening, contacting us and try to create, to make it happen.
Yeah, we sure do.
Thanks for taking the time, Luigi, to talk to us today. And we will be adding all relevant links to the podcast notes. And if you liked our podcast, please take a minute to rate us and share it with a friend. And don't forget to share your favorite quotes from the podcast in the comments. Looking forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks. Ciao, Claudia.
And that's it. Thank you very much, Luigi, for being with us today and having this conversation.
I loved it. Thank you very much for having me. A very good initiative. And I'm sure it's got a bright future because it's exactly what is needed for this tough job, you know, market. And I really appreciate what you're doing. Good job. Do-do-dee-da-do-da. Do-do-dee-da-do-da.